Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show you that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. We're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we're challenged from the book of 1 Samuel to let God lead. Now let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to a brand new chapter here in our study of the book of 1 Samuel. Wow, I want to get going on this chapter because I'm really feeling bad for Israel right now. They are in bad shape. They are cowering in the caves and in a place of weakness. They don't have the proper weaponry. Any former victory of Saul against Nahash has been forgotten, and the people are dominated by the Philistines. What's going to happen? Well, that's what we're going to begin to answer today. So if you have a chance to open your Bible and to follow along, that would be great. We are in 1 Samuel chapter number 14, and we're going to begin reading in verse 1. The Bible says, "Now it came to pass upon a day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said unto the young man that bare his armor, Come, let us go over to the Philistines' garrison that is on the other side, but he told not his father." So we're going to stop there just real quickly, John, this morning, as we're recording in the morning. And it's interesting, John, last chapter began with a victory that Jonathan had over a Philistine garrison. The chapter ended with the garrison of the Philistines kind of taking the high ground. And now we begin a new chapter, again with Jonathan taking initiative against a much more formidable foe.
You know, Jonathan, as we mentioned in the previous podcast, Jonathan is a great man of God who has trust in God, wants to follow God. And it is, you know, just inspiring to see Jonathan in both these chapters begin with, you know, wanting to do something for the sake of his God, for his people Israel, and to go and fight the Philistines. And, you know, he's just not some young man or some man who has a lot of zeal without knowledge, but he has knowledge and faith in God, knowing that God can give him his victory. And so Jonathan, you just have to love this guy as he goes out there and wants to, you know, fight these enemies of Israel.
And just the confidence that his armor bearer has, and we're going to see that in this chapter, that here's a man that is, you know, basically tied at the hip to Jonathan. And yet there's no protest whatsoever. He has confidence and faith in his leader. Look at verse number 2. "And Saul tarried in the uttermost part of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree, which is in Migron. And the people that were with him were about 600 men. And Ahiah, the son of Ahitub, Ichabod's brother, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh, wearing an ephod, and the people knew not that Jonathan was gone." So Saul is back. He's at his hometown again. He has limited forces with him. He's there with the priest from the family of Eli. So we talked a little bit about Eli and Eli's untimely death. Even though he died at an old age, it was still untimely. And remember his wicked sons, Hophni and Phinehas. Well, the Bible says that Ahiah is the son of Ahitub, Ichabod's brother. So this is the grandnephew of Eli, who is the priest at the time. Why would the Bible introduce him at this point?
You know, we're going to have, as you know, Pastor, Eli's line is going to be judged, and we're going to find that down the road. During Saul's time, you know, Saul is going to end up really decimating a family of priests. And we're going to find during David's reign, there's going to be two men working together under David. And so here, the priest is going to play a large part in Saul's ministry, although Saul is going to kill a bunch of priests on one line from Eli. But we're fine here that this is the man of God right now. He's going to play a small role in what's going to happen in this chapter. And so the Bible traces out what happens with these priests because of the prophecy God gave through Samuel to Eli.
The implication seems to be that Jonathan is oriented toward action. let's do something about this. And it seems as if the parallel that's being created here is that Saul is bent toward inaction. He's under a pomegranate tree. Back in Bible days, there were no air conditioners. And so in the hot sun, often people would be under the shade of a tree, and that's where they would do their business. That's where they would have their meetings. And here's Saul with the high priest. So is this a time of counsel? Is this a time of, we don't know. But certainly a contrast has been created. Verse number 4, and between the passages by which Jonathan sought to go over unto the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on the one side, a sharp rock on the other side, and the name of the one was Bozez, and the name of the other Sine. The forefront of the one was situate northward over against Michmash, and the other southward over against Gibeah. So Gibeah, of course, is where Saul is. Michmash is where the garrison of the Philistines had gone out to kind of take over that strategic area between this narrow spot. So really, in essence, Jonathan is going to the mouth of the lion here.
He sure is. And, you know, Jonathan, again, we're going to see this unfolds, his great faith in God. But again, Jonathan is a man who loves God and who does want to do the will of God. He doesn't want to just sit around idly by and, you know, not do anything. And so I love the details that the Bible gives us. You know, this is a true historical event. It's not some myth. This is what really happened. And so God unfolds these details. And Jonathan, he just evidences great faith in God.
Remember, my friends, that while we are reading the Bible, you know, these thousands of years later, the author, the human author, Samuel, as he writes down these details, this was all verifiable. You know, people could read this passage that lived in that area and go and say, see that? There it is. That's the spot. Look at that. See there? And so, as you said, John, the Bible is has amazing historical, perfect historical accuracy, and all of that ought to give credence to the fact that the Bible should be believed. Verse number six, and Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, come, let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. This is one of my favorite verses in 1 Samuel, certainly one of my favorite verses as it relates to the testimony of Jonathan. He calls the Philistines the uncircumcised. So circumcision was the sign of the covenant between God and his people. So in other words, these are people that have no relationship with God. These are people that have no covenant promise from God. We, although there's only two of us, we're among those that have a promise from God. We are among those to whom God has given the promise that this land belongs to us. And so really the focus of Jonathan in verse number 6 is a focus not on his own strength or look at me, I'm the Lone Ranger with Tonto and look what I can do. The focus of the verse is really on the strength and the promise and the character and the faithfulness of God.
That's a great observation, Pastor. And I love that about Jonathan here. You know, that Jonathan really does know who he is in the covenant of God. He knows that God is powerful. He can trust God. And so Jonathan doesn't fear these Philistines as far as, you know, oh, no, I can't attack them. I better just go hide somewhere. Because he knows that God will do through Jonathan as God wants to do if Jonathan will surrender to him. And so here in this verse, Jonathan evidences great perception of what reality truly is and how God is in charge. He is God's man under God's covenant, and he can trust God completely.
And he really suggests a strategy that is counter to the philosophy of his people. So his people want the people of Israel, they want a king like everybody else. They want that strength. They want that human security. Saul fought against Nahash and established this big army. And the people seem to be adopting a philosophy like the kings and the kingdoms around them. And it's interesting that Jonathan says, hey, these people don't know the Lord. They don't have a promise from God. We know the Lord. We have a promise from God. It may be that God wants us to do something about it because God is not limited by human resources, by human strength, by human numbers. Our God is big, and he just needs people that trust in that big God. So this is counter to what the people of God seem to be believing at this point in their history.
It surely is, Pastor. And it reminds me even today, even Christianity in the United States today, how that today, because of politics, people think, oh no, you know, days are dark, you know, we're in trouble here in America, possibly, if things keep going the way they are. I know politics is a whole other discussion. But one thing Christians ought to remember, no matter who's the leader politically, is that we're people of God. And God can work through us as we yield to him. God is not bound to the politics of a nation. God can work greatly. And Jonathan knows the same God that was the God that judges, the God of the Exodus, is the same God he serves. His God is powerful and mighty. And God does care what happens right now in Israel. And Jonathan knows that about God.
He sure does. Look at verse number 7. And his armor bearer said unto him, do all that is in thine heart. Turn thee, behold, I am with thee according to thy heart. I don't know that there are many verses in the Bible that demonstrate confidence in another human being as much as this verse does. Think about what Jonathan is suggesting. He's suggesting that we, him and his armor bearer, go up against a garrison of the Philistines, a garrison that has struck fear in the hearts of 600 other soldiers that are with Saul. And yet Jonathan says to his armor bearer, hey, let's do something about it. And his armor bearer says, okay, let's go. Let's do it. That shows me great confidence, not only that the armor bearer has in God, because obviously that's what Jonathan suggested. Hey, this is of God. God can do this. But the armor bearer said, do what's in your heart. I trust you. I wonder in my leadership, do people trust that I know God? Do people trust that I'm following God? Because really, his faith is in Jonathan, indirectly in God. It's an amazing verse.
This is a powerful verse. This is a great, I love this verse, Pastor, how this armor bearer, Jonathan just says this, and this armor bearer says, hey, I'm right with you. Whatever is in your heart, you do that, and I'm going to be by your side. As you mentioned, leadership, people in leadership, having people that serve with you like this, this is invaluable. This kind of trust where this armor bearer says you'd go, and he's not concerned about, you know, how it's going to play out. At least he doesn't say that right now. His focus is, Jonathan, you follow what you think you need to do. I'm going to be there with you. This is a great verse about, you know, just following your leader, having trust in him because you know he's following God.
And it really speaks to the, no pun intended, the heart of leadership. Too often we think of leadership as certain degrees of competency, or this person has this kind of personality, or what a great administrator, or what confidence they have. But the armor bearer never referenced human qualities about Jonathan. Didn't say, you know, Jonathan, you're the best warrior we have, and you're equipped with the best equipment that we have. And he was. You have the most experience. He didn't cite any of the things that we would normally cite when it comes to leadership acumen. No, he cited, Jonathan, I know your heart. Your heart for God, your heart to defend the glory of God, your heart to honor God. And I'm with you because I know your heart. And I think as leaders, we need to keep in mind that the most important thing about leadership is, where is my heart? You know, am I hard after God? Am I following him? I say that to every dad. I say that to every mom listening to this podcast, every fellow pastor. Well, your heart is really of prime importance. That's why God emphasized the heart throughout the Bible. That's why the heart becomes really the matter of the heart is the heart of the matter. I think I'm saying that right, but you know what I mean. And what a great verse to kind of teach us that.
Yeah, this verse does, as you mentioned, Pastor Armor Bearer, mentions heart twice, emphasizing this. You know, it's great to read leadership books. It's great for people to get degrees in leadership. But all of the knowledge in the world, if a person doesn't have the right kind of heart, he is not going to be, or she's not going to be, the kind of leader God wants them to be. Our heart truly does matter.
Well, what does Jonathan do? You've got an armor bearer that says, okay, I'm with you. Hey, whatever you want, let's go. I'm signing the dotted line. What does Jonathan do? Well, we're going to have to find out. No cheating now, no reading ahead. We're going to find out next episode. So thanks for joining us today. Looking forward to continuing this story next episode, and hope you have a great day in the Lord. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.